Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of New York Is This Way. I'm your host, Glenn Mann, and this podcast is designed to help you figure out how to get around New York. Literally, figuratively, whatever you want to call it. I know it's been a while since we've had an episode here, so for those who've been listening, thank you for listening. Now, it's beginning of November. It's only a couple months left in this year. It'll be 2024 soon. Can't believe I'm saying that. Halloween just ended. And Halloween in New York is a big deal. The Greenwich Halloween Parade, Greenwich Village Halloween Parade, was Tuesday night, and it's the 50th anniversary. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people out celebrating in crazy costumes and outfits. And if you've never been, you have to go at least once. And it's just a wild event. And even if you're not going to the parade, just being in surrounding areas near the parade can see some interesting sights. And of course, if you're just like traveling through, maybe you're heading home from work and you're on the train, and next to you is a sexy nurse, on the other side is a clown, across you is a bunny, then there's someone else dressed as Frankenfooter from the Rocky Horror Picture Show, and that person wasn't even at the parade or the party. This is a regular Tuesday night outfit for them. Because of some of the sights and sounds you see sometimes on the subway. Now, recently I was watching Netflix has a new documentary series called Getting Gotti. It's a 3-part series. Each episode about an hour each, maybe, I think. It's about John Gotti, who was the head of the Gambino crime family, who was the most famous gangster in America since Al Capone in the 1920s. And so this is a very interesting series. And if you're someone who's fascinated either by organized crime stories or stories about New York, especially this time period of the 80s and 90s, you definitely should check this series out. There's a lot of great interviews from law enforcement, from journalists, from mobsters in this thing, so it's really cool to check out. And it made me a little nostalgic, you know, even though we're talking about, like, murder and racketeering, all the murder and racketeering made me a little sad for those days. I was very thinking about the 80s and the 90s, there were difficulties, but things seemed to be a little bit more simple here in New York. And of course, we had issues back then, and of course, we had issues now. New Yorkers, we talked about it being Halloween the other day, and people being scared for like goblins and ghouls, where people are scared every day almost in New York because of trying to pay their rent and trying to deal with, you know, I don't know if you have a car, often inside the street parking, or whatever you're dealing with. Of course, crime and public safety, these things are concerns. There's the migrant situation, there's world events that, you know, have an impact on things happening here in New York. So there's a lot of things to be worried about, and perhaps even scared about. And let's be honest, there's been a decrease in the quality of life here in New York City. Now, is it the hellhole, the hellscape that some people say it is? I don't say that. You know, that really depends on what neighborhood or what block you live on. Some neighborhoods have had a really steep decline in quality of life, as far as issues with noise and crime and open drug use. So it really depends on where you live, as you've seen sort of this, but I say a state of disorder in many parts of the city. There's unruliness, people riding e-bikes and mopeds on the sidewalks, and motors running, and all kinds of crazy crime taking place, and shoplifting. It is so much going on. The city doesn't seem like it's... There's a sense of chaos, in my opinion, and I think others would agree with me. There's a sense of chaos I haven't quite experienced before. As someone who's a native New Yorker growing up here, even back in the day when we had those issues, there still seemed to be more of a sense of order. Now it feels like anything goes. So it makes me think, like, maybe we should bring the mob back. It seems like things were, you know, a little bit more order. Maybe we need to bring the crime family, the five families together. Maybe we can do it officially, like give them a contract, a consulting contract to help us get the city back in shape while we deal with all these situations that are taking place around the city. And of course, If you don't know the story, John Gotti, the rise to power, it starts off with the assassination of Paul Castellano, who was the head of the Gambino crime family. He was the cousin or the nephew of Carlo Gambino, the man who started the Gambino crime family. Which I never quite knew how you start a crime family. Like, do you just, like, get business cards printed up and say, hey, like, we're a family? Like, what's the official family starter process? Never quite understood that, but that's another subject. So Paul Castellano, he was killed outside the Sparks Steakhouse, a restaurant in Midtown Manhattan. And of course, look, everyone wants a good meal in New York. So, and people might even kill for it. But to be killed while going to have a nice dinner in the evening, you know, that was a big deal, especially that part of town. And of course, restaurants are calling everything a big deal in New York. Now, the pandemic, you had the outdoor dining phenomenon, right? Because you couldn't be inside, so you had all these outdoor sheds. And I think it's official that the plans are going to be permanent. It's going to be permanent outdoor dining sheds. Even I think they have to be removed during, like, parts of the winter and then put back. And look, some of these sheds are really nice that the rest of my hood put up. Some of these look like outhouses in Kentucky or somewhere. No disrespect to people in Kentucky. But they're like country, like, outhouses or sheds, some of these restaurant outdoor places they built. And especially depending on the sidewalk, it's like there's not really a lot of room on some of these, like, really tiny sidewalks where you're trying to walk home, you're going, and there's a restaurant and they have a shed across from them, and now you've got to duck some server trying to serve linguine to someone. So it's absolutely, you know, to me, it's another sign that it just seems like there's no real order. There's no one really running things in this town. It just feels that way. And of course, people are concerned about crime, especially in the subways and the buses. And I actually recently rode one of these new buses. I guess, like, I think these are the, like, new electric buses. Why is every new bus in this city so damn tiny? Like, the people who actually make the decisions to, like, design and buy buses and subway cars in this, for this city, don't actually ride. Because, like, every time there's a new bus, they get smaller and smaller. There's no room on the bus. You're squeezed up with someone who you don't want to be squeezed up with, because you don't know them. It's very annoying. But there are some good things happening in New York, because it's the beginning of the holiday season. The Bryant Park Winter Village has opened up, so the free ice skating, and that's a really cool place. So if you're visiting New York, or you're just a New Yorker looking for something fun to do, you know, at the Midtown, and you can do that. So there's some fun things happening around the city. Now, Hollywood, you know, we had the Hollywood strike, the writers and the actors. The writers made a deal and went back, but the actors, as I'm recording this, are still on strike, which means no television and film production here in New York, which is a big part of the economy. And it doesn't, like, you're so used to seeing those signs in neighborhoods saying that you got to move your car because they're going to be filming Law and Order, this or that. And let's face it, it's not quite the same city if Mariska Hargitay and Ice-T aren't walking around outside getting ready to film. It doesn't feel the same. So hopefully, you know, Hollywood, there can be a deal. The actors can get paid the money that they deserve, and we can get some production going on in the city, because it's part of the economy. And, you know, from the caterers, the wardrobe people, it's a big deal. So, you know, the Hollywood light shines bright here in the city, and it's not shining right now. So that is something that we could definitely, hopefully, and money, like I said, hurts the economy. And the city already has many issues that they're dealing with. And you always hear the mayor or someone like, dude, we can't afford this, and we can't afford that. And it's so, like, when you're a kid and you're, like, out at the mall or someone at the department store with your parent, and they're like, we can't afford that, can't afford this. We've got McDonald's at home. He seems like that's the you there from public officials now in the city. We can't afford this, we can't afford that. Oh yeah, we know we can't afford a lot of things in this city. But somehow, you know, we still make it through. And, you know, getting back to, you know, the Getting Gotti series on Netflix, which is not to be confused with the Get Gotti film that was released years ago. And not to be confused with Tyler Perry's You Better Get Gone Gotti, which is, I'm sorry, that's a horrible joke, but I had to go for it. But getting back to that series, it's very interesting. Like I said, I think about the evolution of the city and how things change, but also remain the same. And the city is always fueled by characters, by interesting people who pop up, and it's sort of the limelight is on them. And there's always multiple people who take this role. And there's a fascinating part when they talk about, like, being at a club, and there's all these celebrities there, and then there's John Gotti. And so, like, there's always been that intersection of different people from, you know, taking the limelight. But I feel like we don't have that right now in New York. I felt like you were missing, like, some of that interesting tabloid fodder. You know, the bloody tabloid wars, the Post, the Daily News, and the salacious headlines. I feel like we don't really have, maybe because everything is salacious these days. Everything, every news story. Plus, you got TMZ. It seems like there's always scandal everywhere. And this past weekend, we saw the tragic death of Matthew Perry, star of Friends, one of the biggest sitcoms of all time. Now, the series was set in New York, but it was actually filmed in California. However, that didn't stop. The exterior shot, which is of the West Village, has become a popular destination for years. And, you know, there's someone who works as a tour guide. You go by and there's people looking for the apartment for Friends. They're looking, such a huge impact, such a huge influence. I know there were memorials downtown for Matthew Perry. And it's always interesting, you know, the shows that are set in New York or filmed elsewhere, like Seinfeld, right? Which was filmed on the soundstage in, you know, Hollywood, but still felt very New York. Like, of course, that's not a real New York street. That's not a real New York subway, but it still felt New York. So New York is an attitude. It's a sense of feeling. And, you know, that's what it is. So on that note, as we are, you know, getting ready, you know, I hate saying the holiday season starts November 1st. What happened to waiting until, like, the week of Thanksgiving? Why is everybody jumping the gun? Like, I was hearing Christmas music before Halloween, and that really makes me mad. That makes me want to join the mob when I hear Christmas music before Halloween. But let's not even go down that rabbit hole. Thank you for listening to New York Is This Way. My name is Grand Man. Take care of yourself.